Welcome to the Jesus 360 podcast, a devotional guide to the names and descriptions of Jesus given to us by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Brother Daniel and myself, Blair Phillips, will be co-hosting today's discussion on Jesus, the one whose face we will behold. So we are in Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, which reads, "They shall see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." And so this is in reference to the end of verse 3, which says that his servants shall be in the city and shall serve him. And so, Brother Daniel, I love this. One, because we've just talked about there being no more curse. We've talked about the throne of God being in Jerusalem and the Lamb. And we said, you know, that we're going to be able to serve him, one, free of all curses, free of all bondage of sin. Mm. But now this moves to such a more intimate setting where it's not just that we get to labor for him and with him, but we get to behold his face. Mm. And I think that this is one of the priestly aspects of the eternal dwelling with God in man, is that the Lord desires not just for people to do work, but he actually desires for people to behold him.
Right. And what a contrast between this description of Jesus and the one that we meditate upon several devotional earlier, where the whole heaven and earth fled away from his face. Mm,
very good.
All the creation trembles at his presence and fled from his face. It's as if that his face is so awesome and terrifying. And yet at the same time, in Revelation 22:3, we are destined and called to behold that face. The face that heaven and earth will flee away is the face that we are called to behold. Who are we? Who are we with that kind of capacity and that kind of appetite that we have been designed by our Father in heaven and redeemed by the blood of Jesus and filled by the Holy Ghost in such a way that we would enjoy beholding the face that heaven and earth will flee from? Now, that is remarkable, because even the time when Moses requested to see the face of God in Exodus 33, God make it very clear, "You cannot see my face. No man shall see my face." Just like the Lord declared earlier that in Isaiah that, you know, "My glory I shall not give to another." And then in John chapter 17, verse 21 to 24, he said, you know, "Father, give me the glory, glorify me. The glory that you've given me, I have given them." It's like God would break the rules and the exception. His face cannot be seen by his creatures in any way. Inapproachable, but yet we're unique. We're supposed to behold his face. He will not share his glory with any creatures, yet at the end of the day we end up to be in the form of jasper glory, just like him. That is unfathomable. That is unthinkable. What a privilege.
And I, you know, we've been through, you know, Brother Daniel, the number is escaping me off the top of my head, but do you know the number of how many chapters are in the Bible?
Chapters. Several hundred. I don't know how many chapters. No. Chapters. I think there are over 1,000 chapters.
Something around there. So we've been through, let's, again, don't quote us on this. We're going to use the very generic 1,000. We've been through 1,000 chapters of biblical redemption. Mm-hmm. And that this is one of the main things that Jesus was after. Was, again, not us doing something for him, but us beholding him. And I think this speaks so highly, Brother Daniel, of how much we have to hold the practice of beholding Jesus now, today, as a virtue of our Christian lives and as a discipline that we embrace and we pursue, because it's what we're going to be doing for eternity.
So, for the sake of curiosity, our audience needs to ask the questions. 1,189 chapters.
Okay, 1,189 chapters, all for the purpose that we could again behold his face.
Yes, and actually in his face is the glory and the knowledge of God. And the more we behold Him, we will be changed, because our change comes from the understanding of growing deeper in the knowledge of who He is. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, say that we ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him, which is the Son of God. So we want to know Him more and more, and there's nothing more intimate than a face-to-face encounter, an eye-to-eye encounter. So we are destined and called to behold His face and grow in the knowledge of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we know that as we behold Him with unveiled face, as in a mirror, we shall be transformed from glory to glory into the very likeness. But now this is no longer just we're in process, like 2 Corinthians 3:18, where we are new covenant church, we're in process. This is Revelation 22:3, where we are already in our resurrected body. We have the capacity to, in the grace of God, look at Him and then even get the knowledge of God in a much more robust way than right now.
Hallelujah. Well, Brother Daniel, this is what we live for.
This is what we live for forever and ever. I mean, John 17:24, make it clear.
As Christians, I mean, these are the verses, these are the beautiful attributes of our God that we strengthen and encourage our own souls and each other with. And the day of hardships and the day of disappointments, that this is our eternity, that there be no more curse, God on His throne in Jerusalem, and us beholding Him face to face.
So, Blair, what if I tell you that is when He commands us to behold His face, He's actually after our face. He wants to behold our face. You cannot behold someone's face without the reciprocal reality of someone beholding your face unless the other person is closing their eyes.
No, I think it's very true. And
If the person stooped down and not look at you, you can't see the person's face properly. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at that person's face, and the nature of such a relationship is that the person's also looking at your face. Mm. So it's like prayer. God loves to hear our voice. He likes to see our face. He say, "Is the Jacob the generation that seek His face?"
Well, and some of our audience might be familiar with the Book of Song of Solomon, and some of them may not. But I do believe is chapter 2, and also the last chapter and the last few verses that both speak about the beholding of the face and the hearing of the voice, which I think is to be implied with this also.
So Blair, why don't you lead our audience in this prayer that we will be a generation like Jacob that seek His face and know that that is the priority, that is the priestly nature of our calling. And out of that, then we can walk out the kingly nature of our calling and the prophetic nature of our calling.
Amen. So Jesus, we say thank You that You are the one whose face we will behold. And because You are the one whose face we will behold, we are those who You will behold our face. We will participate with You in this beholding eternity as, or this time frame of beholding, for in this practice, this engagement, this intimate relationship of beholding You and then reflecting Your glory back to You and reflecting Your glory to one another. Lord, we are those who this will be our eternity, to stand before You and to behold You as priests. And because of this, we will walk in kingly authority. We will be Your servants who will serve You. We will do what You desire. We will do what brings delight to Your heart, and we will have full delight in doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We want to thank you for joining us for this Jesus 360 podcast, and we look forward to you joining us next time as we continue on through the names and descriptions of Jesus in the book of Revelation.
You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul with Your love. You satisfy.